Today is Ash Wednesday, which begins the 40 days of the Lenten season when, in some small way, we imitate Christ's time of prayer and fasting in the wilderness before His public ministry. For us, Lent is a time of prayer and fasting, self-denial that leads to the darkness of Good Friday, but is followed by the light of the resurrection and the Easter feast. The name Ash Wednesday comes from an ancient church custom where they placed ashes on the forehead of those who were penitent to remind them of their sin, to acknowledge their mortal nature, and remind them of God's judgment. The very last statement in God's judgment to Adam for his sin was in Genesis 3:19 was, "For out of the dust of the earth you were made, for dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return." We're all subject to that curse, and we'll all one day return to the dust. But God in His grace has provided a Redeemer to reconcile us to Himself. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was raised for our justification. And we live our lives trusting in Christ with the hope of our own resurrection. So this evening, I want to look at three aspects of what Paul said in this passage. First is the day of salvation. Second is that we're co-workers with God. We're working with God. And as we work with God, number three, that we work as servants of God. Paul says that if we have received the grace of God, then we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. If that's happened, all of our sins have been forgiven. We've been declared righteous before God, been justified in His sight by the blood of Jesus. God's given us a new heart. He's given His Spirit to indwell us. He's given us the means of grace, and He's given us the body of Christ, one another, to strengthen our faith as we serve His purposes and we serve one another. God knows that our faith is weak. He knows that we still have remaining sin, indwelling sin, and we live in a world where we're faced with distractions, temptations, the vanities of this world. But through the power of the gospel and the means of grace, God continues the work in us that He began. He does that to deliver us from the remaining darkness that's in our hearts into the light of the glory of His beloved Son. Quoting from Isaiah 49, Paul says, "At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you." And then Paul adds, "Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation." Well, this is obviously an evangelistic appeal to those who've not come to faith in Christ, who've not trusted in the shed blood of Christ for forgiveness of sins, but it's so much more than that. Until Christ returns, at the consummation of all things, every day is the acceptable time, and every day is the day of salvation for everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. Till Christ returns in judgment, all those who are still in darkness, who remain in their sin, the free offer of the gospel stands. And until He comes, there's hope. There's no sin so great that it can't be forgiven. Christ is quick and loves to forgive sinners. And for those who have believed the gospel, of course, at the moment that we first believed, we were saved. We've been justified before God. Our sins have been forgiven. But the work of salvation is not complete. It continues in us. It continues in us, and it continues in the whole church until the last enemy, death, is swallowed up in victory. Paul's saying that God has saved us, God is saving us, and God will save us. He puts it another way in Philippians 1:6. He says, "We can be confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in us," our justification, "will continue to perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ," our sanctification. Our justification before God is irrevocable. It is accomplished and forever settled in heaven, but our sanctification is not. And the continued work of the gospel, which began with our justification, continues with our sanctification. And our sanctification is more than clearing up the remaining debris of some sinful dispositions or a few sinful habits. Our sanctification is the continued work of salvation that God does through the power of the gospel to radically transform who we are at the very core of our being. God's ordained the means to accomplish that through the means of word and sacrament, through the power of His Spirit that indwells us having a new heart. God continues to deliver us as individuals, as well as the whole church of Christ, out of the darkness that remains and into the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And as He does that, Paul says, we're working together with Him. He says, we're working together with Him, and we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. But God's work is slow, and we're impatient, and we really want to see some results. And when we don't see what we expect to see in ourselves or others, or even in the life of the church, we might wonder if God's doing anything at all. But Paul says that we're working with Him. God is in no hurry. He's not waiting for our suggestions or our assessment of what He's already done. He doesn't need our advice. What He wants us to do as we work along with Him is to take the gospel we've been given, the gifts that He's given to the church, and to work with Him on a divine project that for us is incomprehensible. It's one that's immeasurable, and unfortunately, all too often for us, it's even unnoticed. We don't see those changes. But our not seeing the results of what God's doing in ourselves or others or the church doesn't change the work that we're called to do. Paul says that we've signed on as servants. He says in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he says, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. In everything, we commend ourselves as servants of Christ. And then as a servant, Paul lists this long list of circumstances and conditions that he's endured as a servant. Afflictions and hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonment, insult. In all that, his main concern wasn't, have we made any progress yet? His main concern was he faithful to do the work that God had entrusted to him? And the only cautions in that passage have nothing to do with his own welfare. The caution is that he not do anything along the way to discredit the message or the ministry of Christ. In chapter 5, Paul summarizes that message that we've been given. He says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He who knew no sin was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's the message that the church has had since the resurrection of Christ. It's the message that you hear here at Redeemer every Lord's Day. And while our circumstances as servants of Christ aren't quite as dramatic as Paul's, our message and our ministry are the same. For those who don't know Christ, we urge them to be reconciled to God through the shed blood of Christ. And for those who do know Christ, who are walking with Him, it's the same message. We're always urging them to look away from themselves and look to Christ. God sanctifies Christians through the same means that He converts the lost. The thing that overcomes the gravitational pull of sin in our lives isn't try harder, do better, do more. The same grace of God in the gospel that saves us, the with the grace of God that continues to sanctify us as He delivers all of us together from the darkness that remains until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's the end game. Whether we see that happening or not in ourselves or one another, where the church is where we want it to be at any given point or it's not, God is working to that end. During this season of Lent, as we approach Good Friday and Easter, we imitate Christ's 40 days of fasting and prayer, of self-denial in the wilderness. But we wouldn't want to confuse anything that we do, our repentance, our fasting, our prayer. We wouldn't want to confuse, or anything else in our Christian life. We wouldn't want to confuse those things with what Christ has already done for us. There's nothing we can do to improve our standing before God. There's nothing we can do to increase His favor that He's given us. Our repentance only points to the fact that we are sinners and we're in need of His forgiveness. Our fasting points to Christ and His full provision as the bread of life that's come down from heaven. Our prayers point to our absolute need for His mediation and intercession before God on our behalf. And any self-denial we do points to His self-sacrifice, to condescend, to take on human flesh and identify with our sinful humanity as the Lord of glory who bore our sins in His own body on the cross. The Christian life, the gospel from start to finish is about what God is doing, not what we do. If you were here Sunday, you heard Pastor Landry's sermon. And it really provoked me to think about what is it that is to be feared about Jesus. When I look to Jesus, what I fear isn't condemnation for my sin because all my sin's been imputed to Him. And when I look at Jesus and I see His perfect righteousness and purity, I don't fear that because that's been imputed to me. When I look at Christ, the thing that I fear, not what I see in Him, but what I see in me, it's only as we look away from ourselves and we look to the cross, as we look to Christ, trusting in Him, that we move out of the darkness that we're in, any remaining darkness, into the light of the gospel. That's the way it's always been. Post tenebrous lux. After darkness, light. When God created the world, there was complete darkness until God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At the crucifixion in the sixth hour, darkness covered the face of the earth. And at His death, darkness eclipsed the hopes of His disciples. But at the resurrection of Christ, the light of eternal life broke in on the world. And there have been times of great darkness in the life of the church when it was almost extinguished. The practices of Roman Catholicism brought darkness and spiritual decline in the church. And it wasn't until the 16th century when the reformers recovered the truth of the gospel that the light of the gospel began to shine once again. And each of us are lost in our sin and ruled by the darkness of our own hearts until God redeemed us. And He brought us out of the darkness, kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. There's nothing we can do to impress God. If you fast during Lent, if you pray, if you set aside times of self-denial, that's good. That's good for you. God calls us to those things, but not so that He'll be pleased with us. He calls us to those things for our own good because He works through those things. Jesus says to take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And we learn of Him because we want to be like Him. We want to know His attitudes. We want to know his words and his actions. We even want to know how he carried himself in the world. But we don't learn of him by looking at us. We know that we're sinners worthy of death, and yet we're declared to be the children of God. We've been fully justified in Christ. And it says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ, and yet here we sit this evening living out the rest of our days in a fallen world. It's not until Christ returns and destroys that final enemy, death, that we'll be brought into the fullness of the light of his eternal glory. And until then, during Lent, we commend ourselves to all men everywhere as servants of God. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross daily, and we follow him. But you can't follow him unless you're looking at him. In this Lenten season, however you observe it, we rejoice as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who knew no sin, but became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice that he's made. We ask that as we work with you, you've called us to do that, that we do so as servants, following you with our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.